Welcome back, everyone, to our service this evening. For my assignment comes from John chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 21. It has to do with Nicodemus. And I can tell you, as I prepare for this lesson, I realize there's a lot I still don't understand. And I did seek counseling just before when I came in, though, from Brother Mike. He helped me out just a little bit on some of this. For the introduction, we're going to read John chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 21. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and withereth, and whither it goeth. So it is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, I believe that's the first time that I've ever given the introduction and then went back and sat down in my seat. I usually sit down here. So I suppose I was hoping someone else would come on, take care of this for me. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it begins there that says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, notice these facts concerning Nicodemus. First of all, He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angels nor spirit. But the Pharisees confessed both. Acts 23 and verse 8. He was a master of Israel. Jesus asked Nicodemus in verse 10, "Art thou a master of Israel?" That is, he held some official position of the highest rank. He was either the leading official or the leading teacher of Israel, who was either authorized or it was accepted as such by the public. He apparently was wealthy. He spent a great deal of money on the burial of Jesus, according to John 19 and verse 39. He was silent at the trial of Jesus, saying nothing to defend Jesus, but boldly stepped forth after the Lord's death to publicly help in the burial of Jesus. John 19, 39 through 42. He came to Jesus on behalf of the Pharisees, for he says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Some of the Pharisees wondered if Jesus was the true Messiah, thinking perhaps he was. Some eventually became believers. We read that in Luke 13, 31, Acts 6, verse 7, Acts 15, verse 5, and also Acts 18, and verse 8. Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah and performing the works that were prophesied of the Messiah. He became the talk at that time of the whole nation. The Pharisees were questioning and they were wondering, is he really the Messiah? This is the question, the thing that Nicodemus felt compelled to find out. We do not know for sure why he came by night. Maybe because he feared the other Pharisees who opposed Jesus. John seems to be saying this at the burial of Jesus again in John 19 and verse 39. He acknowledges Jesus only as a teacher from God. He and others saw the miracles that Jesus did, and they knew only a man from God could do such miracles. Nicodemus was asking, "Who are you? The miracles show that God is with you, but you are claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God. Are you truthfully, in all honesty?" Jesus did not answer Nicodemus directly, but seeing the honesty of his question, Jesus went right to the heart of the matter. Miracles and signs were not what was important. What was important for Nicodemus was to be changed. Changed spiritually, changed within, and changed completely. To go through such a spiritual change that it could only be described as being born again. The new birth that is talked about here is a necessity. In John 3 and verse 3 it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Two things show that the new birth is a necessity. It's the strong declaration where it says, "Except a man be born again." The Greek word for again has three different meanings. It means from the first. It means from the beginning or completely and fully. It means a second time. A repeated act, as we read in verse 4 of the text, and also compare Galatians 4 and verse 9. And it means from above, from the top, which means from God, John 19 and verse 11. The point is this: a man must be born again. He must be born completely and fully, a complete and a full change. He must be born all over again in the sense of a second time. And he must be born from above, and that is from God. The importance of the words "cannot see the kingdom of God" One must be born again, or else he will never see the kingdom. Nor, according to verse 5, will he enter the kingdom of God. It is a command and an absolute requirement that a person be born again. This new birth is a spiritual birth. Beginning in verse 4, it says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This new birth is a spiritual birth. Nicodemus was confused by the words, born again. He wasn't sure what Jesus meant. He understood that Jesus was saying that a man must be born again, speaking of the second time. Jesus answered Nicodemus by explaining five things. Jesus first gives the source of the new birth. It is being born of water and of the Spirit. I got to tell you, there's different thoughts concerning this phrase, the water and the Spirit. There are three ideas concerning this interpretation that I found in the references. First, Strong's Dictionary shows that the word and can also be translated even. This would mean that water, with all its cleansing power, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Looking at verse 6, the new birth is a spiritual, apart from any natural occurrence. One reference shows that it has nothing to do with any physical substance, including water. It is not of the flesh, not of any material thing. It is of the Spirit. In Romans 8, in verse 11, we read, But if the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raiseth up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The second idea of the term water and the Spirit is that water is related to water baptism. The Pharisees were sent from Jerusalem to find out who John was in John 1 in verse 25. And immediately after our text, John's disciples expressed their concern to him about the rising popularity of Jesus. And John tells us in John 3 in verse 22 that Jesus has been spending time with his disciples and baptizing. John's disciples protest to John, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John 3 and verse 26. At this point, the baptism of Jesus and of John were the same. It was the baptism of repentance. And as Brother Mike pointed out to me, it was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, according to Mark 3 and verse 3. This was the preparation of the coming of the Messiah. Baptism was a part of the message in the ministry of both John and of Jesus. And baptism by the Spirit is what John said distinguished the Messiah's ministry from his own. John 1 and verse 33. To be born of the water and of the Spirit is to be reborn from above. And the third idea is that this phrase, water and the Spirit, is a reference to Christian baptism. When John was writing this gospel, he and the readers of his gospel at that time wouldn't have known what was meant by Christian baptism. But when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, there was no such thing as Christian baptism. It is likely that Jesus would say something that Nicodemus couldn't grasp or he couldn't understand, and this wasn't his intent. Jesus was not out to confuse him, but he was out to lead him to be born again. There was no way that Nicodemus could be baptized to be born again, not then under Christian baptism, because at that time it hadn't been instituted. So of those three, I believe that probably the water and the Spirit was talking about water baptism for repentance, for remission of sins, under the old law before the church was instituted. The next thing in explaining the new birth, Jesus repeated the importance of being born again. Verse 3 says, a man can never see, meaning he cannot grasp, he cannot understand, he cannot know, and he cannot experience the kingdom of God. And verse 5 says, a man can never enter the kingdom of God. Then, next, Jesus gives the nature of the new birth. It is of the Spirit and not of the flesh. The flesh is corruptible. There is a seed of corruption in this flesh, which causes the flesh to sin. And because of this, the flesh ages, dies, it deteriorates, and it decays. It does not live beyond a few years upon this earth. The corruption which is in the world through lust, according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6 and verse 8. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now, Jesus reemphasizes the absolute necessity of the new birth. You must be born again. The word must means absolute and essential. Jesus illustrated the point by picturing the wind. The Spirit of God works like the wind. We may not know how the wind works, but we can see the effects. It is the same with the Spirit of God. We may not know how he works, but we can see the effects of his working. This new birth is a true experience. Beginning in verse 9, it says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The new birth is a true experience. It's a definite experience. Nicodemus' heart was touched by what Jesus was saying. He wanted to know what Jesus meant by being born again. Think about this. Nicodemus was the master of Israel, and yet he did not know about spiritual things. There are many today that don't even care to know. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, there it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There are two tragic facts here. The statements, ye receive not our witness, and ye believe not. Nicodemus did not believe and receive Jesus at this point in his life. He did what many others do. He rejected Jesus. It is in man's nature not to believe. In 1 John 5 and verse 10, there it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This new birth is revealed only by Jesus. In verse 13 it says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came down out of heaven. No man can ascend into heaven. Flesh is flesh, that is, born of the earth. It is earthly. 1 Corinthians 15 and 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus was different from all other men. His origin was from out of heaven, out of the spiritual world and dimensions of being. He is timeless. The Son of Man, which is in heaven, means his existence is timeless. He is eternal. In John 13 and verse 3, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God. The new birth is assured by two things. The first thing is the death of Jesus. Jesus illustrates this point by using the Old Testament story of Moses lifting up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. Numbers 21, verse 4 through verse 9. The children of Israel had begun to murmur and grumble about the trials of the wilderness, wishing they had never left Egypt. God disciplined them by sending fiery serpents to plague them. The people repented and begged for mercy. God met the people's need by telling Moses to make a bronze image of a serpent and to hold it up on a pole in the midst of the people. And those who looked upon the lifted up serpent was healed. Jesus said that he must be lifted up just as the serpent was lifted up. The people of Israel were dying from the poison of the fiery serpents. Men today are dying from the poison of the serpent, the deadly poison of sin. The serpent is a symbol of Satan, according to Genesis 1, Revelation 12 and verse 9, and Revelation 20 and verse 2. Jesus destroyed the works of Satan by being lifted up, so the serpents hanging on a pole symbolized the defeat of Satan. By looking upon the serpent in the wilderness, the people were healed. Today, man is healed by looking upon the Son of Man who has been lifted up on the cross. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and verse 15, there it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The second thing that assures of the new birth is man's belief in Jesus. The man who believes in the Son of Man being lifted up will not perish but have eternal life. Every man must believe the message of Christ in order to be healed, that is, to be reborn. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In the final verses of the text, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. In John 3 and verse 16, this is probably the best known passage in the Bible. Most of the time, this verse is used in a standalone fashion without any reference to context. Other translations, instead of saying, "For God so loved the world," translate this as, "For this is the way God loved the world." This salvation in the wilderness by means of the bronze serpent was a pattern of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. In the same way, the bronze serpent was lifted up on a pole for all to see. The Son of Man must be lifted up so that all who look to him by faith may have eternal life. For this is the way God loved the world. Christ was not sent to condemn or to judge the world. We, the world, deserve to be judged, and we deserve to be condemned. We are guilty of breaking God's law and coming short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. But Christ was not sent to judge or to condemn. Judgment and condemnation were not his purpose. Christ was sent to save us. His purpose was to save us from perishing and to save us to eternal life. It is in this life that we prepare for the day of judgment. Those who have by faith believed in the Son of God are as guilty as the unbeliever. The difference is the believer is actively and diligently seeking Christ. God will save any man who will believe and who will seek honor in his Son. The believer is released from condemnation because he believes in Christ. The believer believes that Christ died for his sins in his place as his substitute, paying the penalty for his sins, which is death. The unbeliever is condemned already. Condemnation is a sure fact. The unbeliever's judgment is sure. So sure that it is though he has already been condemned. The sin of unbelief is that it neglects, it ignores, it denies, it abuses, and it rejects God's Son. The unbeliever is condemned because light has come into the world. The light came to show men the way, the truth, and the life. The light shows men the way God intends for him to live. The light shows men the truth of life. That is, the truth of God and man and the world that surrounds man. The light shows man the life. That is, how to save his life and avoid the things that cause him to stumble and lose his life. The point is this. The life of Jesus Christ now stands in the world to give light. Any man that does not turn and walk in the light is naturally in the darkness. He is condemned to the darkness and to all that happens to those who continue in the darkness. 1 John 1 and verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In closing, this text is rich in truth and in applications. In closing, let me point out some principles, some important principles. First, being religious is not the same as being in the kingdom of God. From the example of Nicodemus, we learn how to be religious without being in the kingdom. This world would apply to Nicodemus, not only to Nicodemus, but to many religious people today. It would be hard to find a more religious person than Nicodemus, but the text makes it clear that as religious as he was, he not only cannot see the kingdom, but he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must be reborn from above. If you take the word spoken seriously, there is a great difference between those who are religious and those who are reborn from above. Hell will be populated with many people who are religious, who have trusted in their religion to save them, rather than trusting in Christ alone. Second, God's love for the world has been manifested through the coming of the cross of Christ. This is the way God loved the world. It is the only way that anyone can have the love of God for now and for eternity. To reject Jesus Christ as God's provision for our salvation, that is to reject God's love and to be under divine condemnation, awaiting the day of God's eternal judgment. Many today seek to find comfort by assuring themselves that God loves them. God loved them that were in Christ. To reject him is to reject his love. It is both foolish and dangerous to believe in a God of love without submitting to his Son, Jesus Christ. Many say, "I believe in a God of love." They go on to say that the God of love would never condemn anyone to hell. Our text tells us just the opposite. The God of love who sent Jesus Christ to save the world from sin is the God who will send him a second time to judge the world of sin. Those who have looked up to him for salvation now look up, waiting for his return. Those who have rejected him fail to understand that when he returns, he will come as their judge. What a terrible thought for some, and what a blessed salvation for others. For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If there is anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come as we stand and sing.